This is URN.
So we're going to start with quite a literal trip down memory lane, it has to be said, because on Monday, as part of the Being Human Festival, I took part in a walk that started in the Trent building on campus, and we walked all the way into the city centre to the railway station, like the train station, which I don't think I've ever walked like from campus all the way to the city before.
No.
I thought it took about 2 or 3 hours. Well, to be fair, it did take a good 2 hours, but we were walking at a very like slow, leisurely pace. And yeah, it was actually like quite a nice walk in itself. But we basically alongside it had a tour guide who was looking at different World War One memorials that have been like dotted along the route, and then just talking to us about how the war impacted Nottingham and the people who lived in Nottingham. And he started off, as I said, in Trent Building, where there's like a memorial of the students and lecturers who actually like went to the war during the time. And apparently it's quite cool because, well, obviously when the war started, other countries like Germany, they have like national service and stuff, so most like citizens, they already can hold a gun, they know how to fight, they've like had all this training just being a citizen, and their armies are huge, whereas we were a little bit more unprepared. So most people have never held a gun in their life. Our actual army that we already had was very, very small. But people from unis and things, they actually did like a physical sort of course just as part of going to uni. It was sort of a set thing that they just did at the beginning. So when the war started, a lot of students and things were like the first ones to enlist, just because they were the ones who were most up for it, I suppose, and they'd already had like a little bit of training, which I never really knew was part of like the degree.
Yeah,
exactly. You think it's all just sitting down and reading books, but yeah, apparently not. So
if someone told me
cool.
to run now, I'd be like, go away.
I'm not running. Yeah, maybe we should. I don't know. I don't want to say we should have that, but I'd be hopeless. But so they were a little bit prepared. The unis sort of kicked it all off really in terms of recruitment before it became like obviously a part of, like you had to do it. And what was really funny is that one of the miners who came from Nottingham, who actually joined, he was known as a, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, a bantam. Have ever of you heard what that is?
No.
So I never knew what this was, and apparently it's a type of soldier who is below the British Army regulation for height. So you have to be 5'3", like, to actually join. And this miner from Nottingham, he was not 5'3", he was 4'11" or something like that, and he basically said, well, I can fight, like, just watch me. And he challenged all the people who were standing in the recruitment office to a fight, and it literally took about 6 guys to restrain him. So by that point, he'd proven his point. He was just so outraged by the fact that they're already struggling to recruit, he can fight, he knows what to do. And obviously a lot of the work is like using guns, so I'm not sure how much physical combat they'd be involved in anyway. Obviously it's an important element, but I just found that so funny how, because of this one guy who just like had a bit of a hissy fit in the recruitment office, the whole law basically changed.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they say why it was a height thing? Just because of maybe like a strength, they assumed?
I think it was the idea that you weren't strong if you were below that height. But this guy was a miner, so I mean obviously he's gone on the most physical like jobs that there can be.
And he clearly knew what he was going in for as well when he did. That takes a lot of bravery to be able to just kind of I'll fight all these people.
Yeah.
All of you. I would never, I'd be too scared to enter.
You can't get in a blow, right?
Okay. Yeah. There was that short man, like, what's that thing? That, like, if you're short, you're angry just because you're short or something.
Oh,
little man.
My oldest brother definitely has that. Same height as me, he's a ball of rage.
Yeah, so maybe it's that anger that got England through the war, who knows?
Maybe
it's the short people, but it's funny how they literally had like a battalion like just dedicated to like short members. I find that absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Wait, a whole battalion?
I think they were literally called the Bantam Battalion or something.
That is crazy.
They had this little like, well, I know they did do it with sort of like the Irish and the English. They tried to keep them sort of in their own battalion. There was certain mixing, but they often tried to keep them like with similar areas.
Did they do that with like villages and stuff?
I'm not sure how much, but I know they did it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize they did it with height as well.
No.
So that was really interesting. And that was all as we were walking. For those of you who aren't local, this won't make sense, but as we were walking like through uni past QMC, like, he was telling us about this story, which is quite funny. And there was only about, I'd say there's eight of us just walking along. So it's quite like a little intimate group, which is quite nice.
That's lovely, actually.
Yeah, and he was like singing songs and things and reading out poetry and stuff. He was quite a funny guy. Yeah. And the traffic as well. Like, he obviously has to like be shouting at you because you're walking along the main road. So that was really funny. And then where did we go next? So we walked along past like Jubilee campus, and he pointed out sort of where Jubilee was. And do any of you know what it was? I feel like a teacher here. Do any of you know this? Do you know what it was before it was university campus?
Where here?
Jubilee campus.
Jubilee, no, I don't know.
So it was the Riley Bike Factory. So the one making bikes, yeah. Okay. It was the... It's like we still the headquarters. It's like in Nottingham, I think. But it started
off
there.
Is that why the cafe in there is called Spokes?
Oh,
wow!
That's probably why.
This isn't Riley Park, like right
next
to
it. Yeah, Riley Park. Wow.
Oh my gosh! My revelations, guys. I didn't even know. Think of that when I was there.
Yeah, Riley Park.
Wow. Okay.
That's insane. Yeah. Well, that's what it was, and I cannot imagine being put into this position, but obviously all the workers there, they went off for their August bank holiday, just as usual, and they came back on the Tuesday, it would have been, and it was literally, okay, England's now at war. We are not making bikes anymore, we're making bombs. It was literally instantaneous, because they only had three factories in the munition factories in the entirety of the UK. They were literally so underprepared. Yeah. I guess they just had no idea they were going to go into this.
It's such a strange concept now, because like we fortunately don't have to think about that as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the idea that like we, you know, you'd come back and like, obviously, I think like our degrees, we would probably be recruited to do something else other than studying English. But I think, it's just such a weird idea. Almost, you can't even compare it to anything that we've experienced.
That's so true. I remember a few years ago there was like not a scare, but they were saying about like a nuclear war thing and. Like World War III. I can't remember what happened. I can't remember what the significance
was. There's a lot of
tension. It was like a little scare thing. Yeah. And everyone at school was like, oh my goodness, we're going to go like into war and stuff. And like, you just can't, it doesn't seem real.
No.
The fact that could happen now. And it could easily happen, but I guess it'd be a completely different kind of war as well.
Yeah.
I'm so with you. I like over the weekend that changed and insane.
And it's nice the way they did it as a walk, because I imagine if you were just sitting in a lecture hall listening to this, you wouldn't remember it, but I can literally go back to different places on the walk and remember what he said in association to the place. And I almost feel like, sorry, go ahead.
Is there a statue outside QMC? I feel like on that walk there's like a statue thing.
There is one on, which I'll come to in a minute, is on,
sorry,
it's on, no.
There is one on is it Church what's it called, Church Lane, I believe.
Okay,
I'm going to look this up. Church Lane and Sherwin Road, there is one there, but I don't think that's the one you're thinking of, is it?
Right.
You probably have walked past it multiple times. I've walked past it 1,000 times.
I think I know which one you mean.
Yeah.
We'll leave
in a few minutes we'll reveal that. But yeah, so the munitions factory, it became one of the biggest in the whole of the UK. And I think Nottingham was quite a good location because it had like good railway links. It also had good road links. And apparently it's quite like low level in comparison to other parts of the UK. So it sort of gets a bit protected from German attacks and things. And one of the other factories that you discussed was Chilwell Ammunition Factory. I've seen Chilwell on the bus.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's like the next town after Beeston.
So quite local. And that was one of the most like efficient in terms of producing ammunition. And that one also had one of the biggest tragedies in terms of an explosion, because obviously it's mainly women and children who are working in these factories, and they're literally handling like TNT, I suppose, like live. And it actually, there was an explosion in July of 1918, and it killed 134 people and injured 250 more, which is absolutely insane. Just because of, I mean, it's still up for debate whether it was a complete accident, whether maybe a spy came in, okay. because there was reports of some of their bombs not really going off, like during the Battle of the Somme and things, they weren't as effective, and they think someone might have tampered with it. So that's a little bit like concerning if that's the case. But it's just that they tried to keep this factory a complete secret from the Germans. But I mean, that must be so difficult to do. It's huge. Like there's thousands of people.
You can't hide it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I always think it's really interesting though when you said like if it was an accident, the fact that there were so many deaths like in the war and on the battlefield, but also all the things that were kind of on a side of that. So
yeah, stuff exactly.
Like that. And like in geography, doing kind of like the relationship between disease and war, and the fact that a lot more people died from disease rather than like being killed on the battlefield,
really?
Which I think is really interesting. But because you just assume it's all kind of gunshots and stuff, but there's all this other things going on as well.
Yeah. Or is that just because of like lack of materials as well, or was it like for people getting like when
disease.
People got
oh it's
disease.
Like kind of lack of hygiene and like overcrowding and everything.
So
but it's just crazy.
Yeah, you don't really think about the disease as a side effect. You just think of the bullets, don't you? That's like in the bombs and explosions. You think of all that sort of heroic warfare that's going on the front line, and actually there's these like thousands of mainly women and children who are risking their lives working in the munition factories, and you often don't hear of their story as much. So I thought that was really like important that you pointed out, and also like the resilience that within the week they were back to producing their like work rate after that incredible fire, and just like the fearlessness to return to that place of work when you know that the people working right beside you were literally like blown up a few days ago. Like,
it must be terrifying. I think the whole situation is obviously terrifying, and the fact that people still did their everyday life I think shows like an incredible amount of bravery,
cause
I just can't imagine living like that under constant fear.
Yeah.
What is it, like 4 years where you are scared all the time?
Yeah.
Awful.
And you're going into it thinking it's only going to be a few months as well.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
4 years later. And I do think if there's any positives to be taken out of it, it is that sense of sort of community and togetherness that they were all had their parts of playing, didn't they? And they all were in it together. And I think if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, almost as a, like at the end of the day, people can work together. It's quite almost promising, like, because you look back on these like massive tragedies and just, you know, so much horrible things that, you know, can come off that, but we've like proven that we can that like as humans, like it doesn't matter like nationality or anything, people can actually work together when they want to.
It's a positive
if they're told that it's like a positive goal.
I think it's a that's true, but it's a shame that it almost takes something like that for people
to
come together.
That's true.
It seems ridiculous because we're capable of it.
Yeah, and we know that from history, which is why I think it's important to study history as well, because you learn so much from it, and they always tell you, don't they?
Yeah.
If you look at it, but it sounds like a good walk.
Yeah, it was. And now we're going to go to the memorial that you discussed.
Nice.
So that was on the corner of Church Street and Sharon Road. And as I said, I've walked past this countless times on my way to uni, and you don't really ever stop and actually look at it, but it does look quite impressive from afar. And it's made of Portland stone, which is interesting because obviously we're in the Portland building. Apparently the reason for that was it was used on the French headstones like for the burials abroad, and it's this idea that if you use the Portland stone in a local memorial, the families who have lost people who can never be like can never become home because they've been buried abroad can still feel like connected to them in a way. It's like a connection like from overseas, which I thought was quite a nice touch, and that made me wonder whether Portland building had anything to do with that. I'm not sure why or how, but
same name.
Yeah, exactly. And this memorial, it's a memorial for about 200 or so people, but there's one guy called Albert Ball who, it's the house, it's just situated behind it, it's called the Albert Hall Memorial Home, I think. And it was commissioned by his parents because he was a pilot fighter, and at the time he was pretty much one of the first ones who did like aerial combat, and it was pretty much a free for all because nobody had decided how what tactics to use, how to take down the German planes.
The plane had only been invented about 20 years earlier.
Exactly. So it was literally like a very new thing, and he just had to basically not only like you say learn how to fly and stuff, but then work out how to fight
strategy,
and it was all, you know, inventing your own strategies, and you were on your own basically.
Gosh.
Which must have been absolutely terrifying, plus you're in the air. There's nowhere to hide.
How do you like look around you, and there's so many things going on.
Yeah,
it was terrifying. Like at least when you're on the ground you're like, right, I've got my 2 feet, I know how to use these. In a plane that's just mortifying.
Exactly. And if you say I didn't realize that, but if it's literally only been about 10 years before that they're invented, then you know you're questioning the invention itself, not just your own ability.
Just gonna stay in the air.
Yeah.
That's awful. Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't realise it was that soon before.
Gosh. And he, unfortunately, he actually didn't even die. He died in combat, but he didn't get shot down by another plane. He flew into like some clouds and just got disorientated and just like came out the other side upside down. And that's so sad because he was literally renowned nationwide as being one of the most like skilled pilots that we had. And yeah, he just came out and just like crashed because he was so disorientated.
That's why like that invention of like radar has been so amazing for them. It's like things like that must have happened like all the time. And, like, you said it's so sad when it's just like someone so talented.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the same with I think a few died in kind of training exercises as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like on in the English kind of camp things, and I'm like, that's so sad that it was training, not even the real thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. So then we sort of ended up actually walking into the city centre, and it seemed to be there's quite a lot going on around campus in terms of memorials and things, so then there's like a little bit of a gap until you get to the railway station. It's like, but it was still really interesting. He was telling us lots of stories, and he did point out, which I think this is quite important as well, and I think we discussed this a little bit last week, about it wasn't just the British that suffered, it was the Germans living in the Nottingham especially at the time. So they were here before the war started, and suddenly they're basically shunted out of society just for being German. And one guy, he ran this bakery in Nottingham, and he wasn't actually German. Well, his parents were German, but he was born and bred in the UK. He had family, like a wife, children, all British. And he was basically just like constantly abused, like having people throw stones and stuff in his bakery window, and like telling him to get out and stuff. And he eventually like hung himself because he was so like traumatized about the thought of having to return to Germany. He never went there because he was born here. So, and I think that was quite a nice like thing to include as well, because you think about like the poor British soldiers and things. There's over like 300 Germans living in just Nottingham alone at the time. So obviously, how do they feel? They've got almost split. They've been pulled in two directions,
and
aren't they?
They don't really belong anywhere. Like,
exactly.
I feel like if they went back to Germany after saying, I've lived in Britain, they probably wouldn't have been like kindly received.
And also, at the end of the day, not all German people supported the Nazis. And it shows that how much war creates and like that kind of... It does lead to this like horrible like racism on both sides and violence on both sides. There's not just this kind of like, oh yeah, just war that makes it all okay, because there's like, especially when you learn, like it's really interesting hearing about people's lives that live near like where we live now. So like man who works in, is it a bakery? And it's almost like you think now like everyone knows like a German bakery near them or something like that. And when it gets put into this perspective of a real life, like you're saying on this walk, it makes you consider the situation a lot more than just like an us versus them. This is like people's lives.
Think of how millions of people were involved. And everyone has a story to tell that's going to be different. And everyone's like, war wasn't good for anyone. So obviously everyone's have their own individual traumatic story. But that's bad, because I feel like probably even the people that he knew turned against him once they... found out.
Exactly.
Story, but I thought that happened a lot.
And I think that's the point that they wanted to do this walk, was the tour guide was mentioning how we all know the war as being 1914 to 1918, but for individuals it wasn't necessarily then, it was maybe 1916 to 1917. Like for a mum whose son enlisted, if they enlisted in 1916, died in 1917, to her that's when the real war was.
That's really interesting.
So I think that's the point they were getting across. It's like that individual perspective that you don't get from just hearing stats or
reading like political history.
Exactly,
it's just all the same.
So true. And like you say, actually making it a walk rather than something, it'll actually take a lot more in.
Yeah.
It's more real. Also, I think it's really interesting that they did it specifically on Nottingham, because I feel like you hear of the main kind of places where it happened, were like the Battle of the Somme or like the Blitz in like London or different parts of it. That was the war I'm really bad at. like certain places that kind of stand out, but actually every single village, every town, every city is going to have its own story, and it's going to have affected each place individually as well as the people within it. So that's really interesting, because and seeing Nottingham having a history past students as well, I think it's really important. I'm like, oh yeah, it's always been a uni, it's always been students everywhere, like that's all it is.
But once upon a time it's a factory.
So yeah, I think that's really important.
This is URN.